Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
On this week's episode of Barbecue and Cap, we're going to do a recap of the smoked chili for meat lovers and vegetarian episode. Well, I guess we're going to just recap that we've made the stuff and we want to talk about what worked well. And for Chris, it never doesn't work well, but we'll talk about what worked well, what potentially didn't work well, and some tips and tricks if you're going down the pathway for making your chili. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner in crime, co-host, and my favorite cook. What's up, man?
It's all right, man. You can go with Pitmaster. My daughter laughs when she hears that. She's like, she starts laughing.
She's like, you know, Pitmaster.
No, she's laughing because she knows I'm uncomfortable with it. But so it's hilarious. What's up, man?
It has been one of those weeks, as I think everybody has every once in a while with work, but all good, man. All good.
So. Good. It started out as one of those weeks, and then I had a very interesting switch up and go on in there where I went to my godchild's party. She had a housewarming. Her and her fiance just moved into a new place, and we went out there, checked it out, and then came on home. And on the way back, I was like, I saw a car on the side of the road on the highway.
Car?
Well, at the moment it was a car, and my wife was like, oh, I think that's a Tesla, and I wonder if they're out of power. And I was like, well, you know what? I drive an F-150 Lightning. Perhaps the component in the back where I use for tailgating can be used to help this poor citizen out. So I loop around the highway, come back. And the worst part about it is he's right after my exit. So he was like a little bit up after my, and I had already gotten off. So I had to go down, turn around, and go back. And now to get on the highway from there, I have to go past him because he's like in between the on ramp and the off ramp of my exit. So I got to go past him, go to the next exit, get off, loop around. And now to get back to him, there's no direct exit, right? So I have to go past my exit to the previous exit, get off, loop around, get back on. And then I was
able all of this just to show off. Good gracious.
I was like, I want this story so badly. But so and that was truly, I'm not going to lie, that was truly my intent. I said, I was going to make a great story for myself. And I got there. I was like, hey, man, can you run out of power? He was like, yeah, I've been sitting out here for 4 hours. And everything in me that was like, oh, this is going to be a great story, left my body. I felt so bad for this dude. I mean, he was a young guy. Probably from South Africa, I had to guess. He had some type of accent. And clearly he was out of his depths as far as the vehicle is concerned.
You know the worst thing about this story, and there's the truth to it. If he had just monitored the car, there was a Tesla supercharger.
He passed it. Three exits. Oh. He passed the supercharger. Three exits.
Yeah.
But again, he's not. So as it turns out, it's not his car. It's his boss's car. He knows nothing about the vehicle. Not a thing. He was just driving it. And so I was like, listen, I have a outlet in the back. I have an adapter. I can potentially give you a charge. Now, I have looked at this, but I never actually done it. I've certainly used my outlets for the sous vide machine, as I've talked about. I've used them. I actually hooked up a griddle.
Yep.
To the outlets and did some burgers on it. I did all kinds of tailgate. I used the outlet for what I saw the potential for was, which was definitely tailgating. However, I was like, you know, Ford did, you know, ship the truck with some adapters. So I looked at it and I just assumed that I had an adapter that would allow him to plug into my truck in the back, in the bed, because there's three 120 outlets and there's one 220 outlet in the back. And so I called you. You were having a lovely dinner with your family. And I was like, you know, because I asked the guys, like, where's your charger? You can just plug in and see if you can get a charge. I don't have a charger. I was like, oh, that was unexpected. So then I call you. I say, hey, let me borrow your charger. Of course, you're paranoid as heck. Like, dude, make that, you bring my,
I told you,
bring my charger back.
Not leave my car.
Bring it back. And I was like, of course. So now, but I still have my family with me. So I jump. I have to go past my exit again. Cause remember, I'm in the between my exit or past my ramp, take my family home. And then I go and meet up with you. And then get your charger. And then I'm like, hey, let's take a look at this. This manual just to see what needs to be done. And then you're like, yeah, you don't even need my charger. You could have used your own charger that came with your truck.
So here's the funny thing. When I walked back in the house, cause I was at my in-law's house for dinner. I walked back in, everybody, you know, cause you know, I'm leaving dinner to come out and to try to help you out with whatever was going on.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, everything okay? I was like, oh yeah, he's just trying to help someone on the side of the road. I was like, you know, the worst thing about this whole thing. I was like, he runs up here to get my cable to charge it. He literally had everything he needed in the truck and then abandoned that person on the side of the road.
It's just not a feature I had looked into, right? Because, you know, when you first hear about it, you think it's a gimmick, right? It's like, yeah, you can charge a Tesla truck. Okay. Cool. You know what I mean? I mean, you can charge a Tesla off your truck. So I'm like, all right, fair enough. So I get back to, so I was like, give me your charger just in case. So I take Rod's charger and I drive back. I text the guy because I got his number. I said, look, I'm on the way back. So I'm sure he was relieved. But I've been stranded on the highway before. And so I understand that feeling of hopelessness, you know, where you're just out there for hours and hours and hours and you're just waiting for, you know, the tow truck or something to come and it's just not coming. And there was another guy there that was helping out too. That was just sitting with him, talking to him and trying to offer advice. So I come back, you know, loop around. And so what Ford did is they give you two adapters. One adapter allows me to, is for the outlet, right? So the outlet on the truck is circular, kind of like the typical dryer outlets where it's circular, but it has like the L-shaped hooks on it where you got to put it in and give it a twist. That's how it's in the truck. But then it changes that over to the, what's it, NEMA 50?
1450, yeah.
Outlet, which is that thick claw like looking outlet. And then the second adapter goes into my, the part that plugs into my truck, but it changes it over so I can plug it into a Tesla. So I hooked everything up, go to his truck, and I'm trying to plug it in. And it's just like clunk, 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 clunk. It's like, it's just not going in. And I was like, what the heck is going on? So I was like, all right, well, good thing I told Rod to give me his charger. So I take Rod's charger, I unplug everything, plug his in. Clunk, 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 clunk. I was like, okay. And then so I look in there and I see this tiny little metal piece that's sticking up in there. That was like, that's got to be a safety feature. So I call Rod
back. So it's actually, it's just a latch that locks the charger to the vehicle. And when not charging it, it's always engaged. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it basically locks into the charger to prevent people from yanking it out. So I call Rod back. He says there's a latch you can do to open it. I look it up. I find it easy peasy. It's just a little cable you can yank and pull it down in place. So now we're cooking with a cornbread, and I plug it in and start to charge. And I'm like, okay, I got power on my charger, on Rod's charger. The light's on, but it's not moving. So long story short, I tried both my plug. I tried Rod's plug. Both of them were pulling power, but it was not charging the Tesla. And it turns out that once the Tesla gets to a certain level of deadness, it's super dead.
So, yeah, it's when he drained not just the traction battery, which moves the wheels, but he also drained, there's a 12 volt battery, and he also gutted that. And from that point, it doesn't.
It won't accept. It won't even.
You either have to replace the 12 volt, charge the 12 volt, or something. But that has to be solved, and that was ultimately
the issue. But it was fun using the, transforming my tailgate truck for a moment into
a
rescue truck. I was almost a hero. And then so for people like me who was like, well, what happened to the guy? The other guy that was with them called AAA on his account. He went and parked his vehicle at the gas station. I picked him up at the gas station and brought him back to the car so he could pretend like the car was his, so that he could use his AAA account to get the guy towed. And then went back, got his truck, and then, I guess he took the guy home. So there you go. I didn't contact him after that though, but, I really felt bad, and I hope it worked out well.
You spent a couple hours on trying to help the guy out.
About two hours. And then me and my wife went out to dinner for a birthday party. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. But anyway, and then you took a stab within the last couple of days of, just a second look at your meatballs, right?
Yeah.
Made a little switch up.
Yeah. I tried to make a couple minor changes. So I'll start off with one. I thought the meatballs came out really good. And when they first came out of the oven, super, super moist. When I made them into the sandwiches, the kids really enjoyed them and they said they were moist, but I was like, they're not as moist as they were when I, they kind of came out of the oven and it cooled down. And I was trying to figure out, like, what went wrong? Like, what could I do better so I can get a juicier, moister meatball? So of course, starting to scouring and looking for, like making meatballs, making sausages, making anything, like what can you do to try to up the moisture? And I ran across two things. One, I kind of seen it done before, so it wasn't really, it shouldn't have been a surprise to me, but one was for your, like if you're using like breadcrumbs, which in the first time I did it, I didn't use breadcrumbs, but this time I decided I was going to try that. They said, or bread. I actually just used like sliced bread. I just sliced bread up right fine. The suggestion was to take the bread and soak it in whole milk, because whole milk will add additional fat.
Okay, so let me be clear. You're taking the bread that's being used for the
yeah, it's like binder.
Binder.
Yeah.
And then you're soaking it in whole milk.
Yes, because that whole milk will add some additional fat to it.
Right, but you're doing the bread separately, and then you're folding it in to the meatball.
And I'm folding it into the meatball.
So that's very similar to what I did with the smoked meatloaf. Because if you remember, I actually mixed up the breadcrumbs separately, which I picked up from Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
And then folded them in to the meatloaf, and then smoked the meatloaf. So that's interesting. Okay, go ahead.
So then the next thing, and I don't remember where I saw this, was zucchini. So just looking through, watching somebody, and I don't even remember what the person was making at this point in time, but I'm watching them make it, and I see them peeling a zucchini. I'm like, backtrack, come back a little bit and listen.
Okay.
And they peel the zucchini. So they peel off the green part of the zucchini.
Sure.
And only the white kind of fleshy part of zucchini, just grate it up. Grate up nice and fine, because zucchini, that part of zucchini, as they stated, was really good at helping retain moisture. And it doesn't take a lot of it. Like I did like 3 pounds of meat. And
the other aspect of it too is, right, zucchini is like 90, 95% water anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've added something with a flavor with some more moisture into it. So,
The zucchini virtually, I mean, it really doesn't have a lot of flavor to it.
No.
So it's not going to alter the taste. So I did that as well. And went with, you know, like I put like 3 tablespoons for 3 pounds of meat,
Hold on. Did you use a hand grater or did you actually?
I have like a very fine, like almost like a micro grater, but I hand grated the zucchini.
Okay. All right.
So it was
basically non-existent once it was in there.
Yeah. I waited to see, does anybody taste that there's zucchini in here? No one picked up on it.
Okay.
And I think those two pieces alone, I thought game changed it. So, the meatballs came out super juicy. Oh, sorry. The third key thing I did, and this was the big one. A lot of people talk about when you're making meatballs. Most people say you cook your meatballs, get them perfect, put them into your sauce or your gravy, whatever you want to call your tomato sauce. And, you know, probably about 20, 30 minutes, let them cook down in there so the flavors kind of meld.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of people who I'll say do not soak your meatballs in your gravy was astounding.
Interesting.
And the main stance behind it, which I can understand, is that by putting them in the gravy, the moisture that is actually you've worked to retain in the meatball is now being transferred over into that sauce. So your meatballs tend to get less juicy. Your sauce now tastes amazing because they have all that great flavor from your meatballs, but your meatballs tend to dry out a little bit more. And the last time I did it, I did put them in the sauce. So I made 3 key changes, was really happy, but I still did meatball and cheeses with them because that was what the kids requested.
Yeah.
But this time what I did is I just scooped some of the sauce out, put it into a bowl, rolled the meatballs around into the bowl so they're fully nice and coated. Did a quick pop in the microwave just to heat it. So they were relatively heated back up, put them on the bread, put the I always turn my bread into garlic bread, then put I use 2 different cheeses or 3 different cheeses on the meatball and cheese mainly. Provolone is your primary cheese. But put those on, ready to go.
Yeah, they looked great.
I thought they look great, and the kids were like, they were really good. So I was like, all right, cool.
And if folks want to see what we're cooking, and in the end, you know, not only do we put the pictures on the website, but we actually post a lot of our stuff on Instagram. So make sure you follow us on Barbecue and Tech on Instagram, and Rod and I as well, because we post a ton of pretty much every time we smoke something, it's going up on the pictures are going up there.
Yeah, it's really funny because my kids are always, their friends are always like, what's your dad making tonight? What did he do tonight? Because I don't post photos every night, but I do try to post like the things that are kind of fun. And often I'm always getting the, what is your dad making tonight? Like, good Lord, like he's always cooking something fun. Like, I wish my parents cook like that. So,
yeah, that's right. You're the cool dad. All right, cool. I know you had that update on the, so before we get into the crux of this conversation, I just want to remind people that, hey, you know, we're trying to get a nice partnership going with, one of our favorite spots to get, barbecue supplies from. So if you have an opportunity, by all means, please head over to Mason Dixon Barbecue Services. And if you purchase anything, just send us a picture of it, leave a comment on there about Barbecue and Tech, do both. Cause we want to show the owner that, hey, man, we can work together and do some cool things. Cause he has some really cool equipment that he's like, hey, you guys can, you know, grab these things and test it out for us. And it makes it a lot easier for us to test new types of equipment. They're big on the Yoder smokers. They have gravity fed smokers. They have offset smokers, the things that I would love to be able to test out, but not necessarily want to buy and then have to have a graveyard full of smokers that I'm not using. So this is the perfect opportunity for all of us to kind of get a little deeper into different smoking tech that's out there. So yeah, please, by all means, if you guys can help us out with that, we really, really, really appreciate it.
Yeah. More people who go over there, the more stuff that they're going to make sure that we can get our hands on and test. I know they've already offered up a couple smokers for us to.
Yeah. A couple of smokers and a new thermometer, remote thermometer they're getting in that they want us to check out. And I think that's next month. We'll be able to start testing a lot of this equipment. So,
yep. Really fun.
Okay.
Can't wait to try something else out.
Last episode, we ran down our plans for doing the chili. Now, here comes the D-Day. We always go back and recap in the end what worked, what didn't work. And I'll let you go first because you had a vegan or vegetarian chili that you found online.
Yep.
It was totally meatless and but very rich in flavor. So go ahead and walk us through how you felt it came out and what you could have did better.
So I probably say if I had to say what could I have done better, it could have probably had a little bit more heat to it. So the thing I liked about it is that the heat was subtle. My kids actually enjoyed it, and like they actually often would mix it with yours to cut the heat down a bit, which was a great core concept. Like, cause they're not super hot foods. Like they really enjoyed both, but they're like this by, it's just creating volume, right? You cut the heat down. So that was one good thing. But I would say if I doing it again, I would definitely without a doubt, try to add a little bit more heat than what I did, especially when I looked at how much you used for heat versus what I use. I would definitely do a bit more. I probably would do doing it again. I've never really cared so much for, I guess it's like Beyond Meat. I know there's another one. I can never remember the name of it. I want to call it Wonder Meat or something to that effect. Impossible Burger. I've never really cared much for the texture of those as burgers. However, when you're doing it in a chili, the gritty texture that I feel they have when you eat them really does go away in the cooking process. So I'd probably say that if I were to do it again, I would probably I would definitely say I would without a doubt would probably add in a vegetarian meat to it, because or vegan meat, however you want to look at it. I do think that adds a complexity or something like that I think is really good.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The really interesting thing in the way, I think there were a couple interesting things on this particular chili that I thought made a pretty big difference on making it. First and foremost, I was really concerned because when the recipe calls for cocoa powder, and I think you, let me start with it first. Making your own your own chili powder, huge difference. I felt, yeah, that was a pretty big difference maker. I think that worked out really well. I would probably use a bit more onions on if I were doing it again. Like I did try to follow the recipe relatively close. Mm-hmm. To me, the recipe is something that at least needs to be doubled. If you're making it for more than like two or three people, mm-hmm. without a doubt, I would probably double the recipe. So I had a lot more of that. I would probably use a bit more. Well, by doubling it, I would automatically get the additional onions. I like my chili with just a little bit more onions. So I didn't feel like it had as much as I wanted in onions. Mm-hmm. I tend to dice my stuff up a little bit smaller when I'm making, like even with a chili. I know you want to make sure your stuff's a little larger so it can survive the cook. It's a preference thing. So I do like that the dicing of it up a lot more was really good. I was definitely concerned with the cocoa powder. That was probably the most nerve wracking, element of that recipe. Cause it wasn't a small amount of cocoa powder it called for. It was, I want to say it was like a tablespoon or so of cocoa powder. I mean, it was so much so that I was like, oh my God, it was 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder. And it was Dutch processed cocoa powder, which I always have in the house because I like to bake. But when you put 2 tablespoons of cocoa powder in that, you're like, oh, this is not going to go well. And it did. It worked out perfect. I never tasted it. The navy beans, the thing that was really good about them is that there were definitely navy beans left over, but a good bit of the navy beans actually do, because they're white beans, they do break down into the sauce, which helps thicken up the sauce. Because
right,
I was going to wait to put the beans in, but in this recipe, you actually put the beans in relatively early in the, like, kind of like there's like they're in there for an hour and a half as you're cooking down. So, but it, they held, like the beans held up really well. Like it was at a very, very low temperature. I just stirred it once every about 10 minutes. And that was perfection. That they didn't break down. At least I felt when I ate it, I didn't feel like those broke down. To thicken up the sauce, one of the other things the recipe called for was, excuse me, it called for like a Mexican corn flour, 3 tablespoons of that. And that definitely helped give it a bit more body. If I were going to probably do something different, the lime juice, I thought added a little bit too much of a tang and acidity, as well as the red wine vinegar, especially towards the end of the cook process.
Right.
I think it needed a bit more time with that to kind of calm that flavor down in that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a bad flavor at all. I still think the chili was
I enjoyed it.
Absolutely outstanding. But it was when you first tasted it, was one of the things you picked up on relatively, like, oh, there has a little tang to it. And I was like, yeah, okay, I picked that up and I wasn't sure if it was just mental, but when you noticed it different, then that said to me, I would calm that down a little bit more. But overall, super happy. I did give it to two friends who are vegetarians, and they definitely had, I wouldn't say rave reviews, but they were definitely like, this was really good chili. Like, very appreciative for getting some of it. And the amount of time additionally it took for making the chili powder was, in my opinion, negligible. And I'm funny like that, where I'm like, if I can, yes, I could go buy a chili powder and just move on, but I'm like, screw it, I'm going to make it. And now I probably, for the cost of 2 bottles of chili powder, I have not only
Probably. So you actually mixed all the ingredients for the chili powder first, and then you used the chili powder?
Yeah.
Okay. Why? You could have just put it in the pot.
Well, because like I actually mixed all the ingredients, so I had the right ratio for my chili powder. Then, the other thing, and this is one thing that, like, I guess if you're doing like a either Asian or stuff like you, I typically want to put in like my seasoning, like the chili powders, into oil, not into sauce. Like I want it to pop and open up those flavors, like 30 seconds and like oil, like opening up those flavors, and then start folding everything on top of that and enriching the flavors. And that for me was, I definitely thought that did bolden up the flavors a bit more than if I just, dumped it in liquid. So, overall, like I say, super happy.
Yeah, it was very good. You brought some over here. We did a family taste test. Both my wife and my daughter enjoyed it. I would have liked it to have more heat.
Yep.
But it did. It definitely attacked different aspects of, when I was eating it. So yeah, it was really good. So you ended up making that vegan chili. I ended up making 2 chilies. I made a full on meat chili. And then I made my version of a vegan chili. I'll start with the meat chili first. I thought both of them came out really, really good. I was quite happy with the way both chilies came out. Now I did call an audible on the vegan chili. And so for anybody who runs into the same situation where you got friends that are on both sides of the eating fence, what I ended up doing was I actually started the process together. So all the vegetables, like the peppers, the onions, I actually cut, took the seeds out, even the hot peppers, the jalapenos, took all the seeds out, cut them, put them on a tray, and I put them in the smoker. So I smoked all of those things first. I took the Beyond Meat, put that in the smoker, and I also took a piece of, I think it was a 6-ounce piece of chuck, put that in the smoker. And, of course you could be super technical and be like, you got to have them in separate, smokers, but I don't have any friends that are that hardcore, with it. So I put I didn't even put the chuck on until afterwards, but I would have, if I had gotten it at the same time. But, so I basically put all the ingredients into the smoker at the same time. But like I talked about on the previous episode, I did not leave them in there as long. They picked up the smoke flavor really fast. They had a nice, almost started to char a little bit. And then I brought those upstairs. And then by then you had came by the house and helped me cut those up. I like my vegetables cut up bigger because I want them to hold up in the chili. I want them to be seen and I want them to be enjoyed while it's eating. I don't want it to just disintegrate. The other thing I did is I got my La Cruce, pot, and, I did take some ground beef and start it in the pot. So that way that hot oil could then open up the, you know, start opening up the pepper, start opening up other flavors that are hitting that pot on the inside. I actually did throw in like a little bit of sausage, just a little bit. I pre-cooked the sausage first. I don't like the idea of, you know, if I'm going to do the ground beef in the big pot, I don't want to do the sausage in there as well. I'd rather do that separately and add it. So I dumped that in there, dumped all the peppers in there. And then I went ahead and hit it with like a bunch of beef broth. And I just let that cook down in the pot for about 10 minutes. Nice and steamy. I started adding some different flavors to it. Started adding my chilies, additional chili powders to it. And then when that was done, I went ahead and added my tomato sauces to it. And then I stuck that into the smoker and let that go for about, I did have a mishap. So, you know, the downside of using technology is sometimes you don't realize when something, you know, goes awry. And so in this particular case, right before I had put it in there, my GFI on my outlet had tripped. So the outlet I was using for the extension cord for the fan, was out. Now, thankfully my smoker holds temperature like nobody's business. So it only went down a little bit and the reason why is because when you're using a blower, you tend to close off the top. So it doesn't add any extra air. It's only the flow of the air coming from the fan is what's bringing the temperature. It gives your temperature controller way tighter control. So just a little tip there. If you're using a temperature controller, the trick is to close the top vent as much as possible so that the temperature controller has really tight controls over the temperature of the smoker. So got that in the smoker and let that go. Now the vegetarian chili, I actually did something a little different this time. And, the reason why is because me and my wife just celebrated an anniversary and, she bought me a new crock pot for our anniversary. And she heard I was doing a chili. So she just said like, you know what, let me just get him this and call it a day. So she got me the, crock pot brand, 8-quart programmable slow cooker. And, I love the bigger crock pots because it gives you a lot of flexibility, especially when it comes to doing a chili. And this I like as well because it has the digital, readout on the front, makes it real clear, whether you're on warm, high or hold or low. You can set your timer real easy. The buttons are limited, but I like it nonetheless. So props to my wife for getting that for me. So what I did was after I smoked everything, I actually cut everything up and then dumped it into the crock pot. Now, what I did also was I took I took 5 black bean burgers and smoked those as well with the rest of the stuff that I was smoking. And I just saw it as like, here's something vegetarian that may add a little twist to the chili. So I'll try it out. Now, the Beyond Meat did not go into the smoker. If you remember when I talked about it, I said, I'm saving that for way towards the end. But what happened was, which was I didn't expect, was the black bean burgers actually completely broke down in the chili, but it added these were like a Southwestern ones. So they added that Southwestern flavor to it, but it completely like just disappeared into the chili. So, and then as it did, it provided a lot more body and thickness to the chili than I was expecting to get out of it. So I was really happy with the way that came out, out of there. So, I gave it medium heat. So I didn't put as much pepper as I normally would. Normally that thing would, give you a little bit of a sweat, but I gave it medium heat. And then, let it go. I let it go for about 4 hours And right towards the end is when I added the I'm always traditional with my beans, the red kidney beans. And then I added in the Beyond Meat and stirred that in. And honestly, as Rod mentioned, the Beyond Meat came out perfect. It was very, I seasoned it really well beforehand. And then that prevented it from breaking down in the chili. So it didn't get all dried out and gritty as it can have. It has happened to me numerous times. So I was really happy with the process. What I would change, and I think is I'm always scared to death to oversalt something. And I felt like I didn't have enough salt in it. Now, of course, you know, people can add additional salt in after the fact, but I kind of wanted it to hit more savory notes when you eat it. I definitely feel like I undersalted it. And I too as well probably could have used a bit more onion flavor to give it that savoriness as well on the chili. But overall, I was pretty happy with the process and the season. And the one thing I will tell people is make sure, you know, you give your ingredients a good seasoning, because obviously it's going to, you know, you may think it's overdone, but as it's cooking in that and stewing in the chili, you know, it's going to break down. And then much like I did the beef broth for the meat chili, I actually use a vegetable broth for the crock pot and then added the tomato sauce to that. And then for me, my thickening agent was tomato paste. That's just how I do chili, tomato paste. I know a lot of people use cornstarch. It's not my thing. I like the paste.
I'm a huge tomato paste fan, but you know, another thing is chipotle paste will also add another additional layer of depth of flavor, as well as add in some heat. I used chipotle in adobo sauce, and I did chop those up and add those in, and it does add an additional depth of flavor and everything like that.
I have used gochujang as well, which is an, you know, an Asian paste, which adds an interesting flavor to it as well. So that is another option folks can do. So for us, then I think the next thing we are starting to plan is the pork belly. The smoked pork belly. And there's a couple of different ways you can do a smoked pork belly. My favorite is to do it as burnt ends. I've smoked the whole thing and then sliced it off, and then I've done burnt ends. And by far, to me, pork belly burnt ends are out of this world. And it doesn't take very long to smoke. I think the trick is to kind of make sure you get that top fat layer to kind of crust up a bit.
Yep.
So you get some nice body to it. But what are you thinking there, Ron?
So I definitely know I've never done them before, so it's been something I've wanted to do. I definitely know, like, from just a seasoning standpoint, I'm going to probably go definitely on the sweeter end with the seasonings. Because it's like baking candy, right? So I definitely know the profile I'm going to go for will be sweeter. I don't think there's a choice but to do them as burnt ends. Because it is it's a lot of fatty of the meat. I've looked at the size of those, and I wonder how much fat's going to render down, and do I need
it renders down quite a bit.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, like, do I just want like maybe a pound and a half, 2 pounds, and then go from there, or how I wanted to handle that. I'm not really sure there.
Yeah. I'll probably just go get a whole one from the butcher. And then if it's too big, we can split it. But, or what I'll do is there's a couple different ways. I've seen people where when they cut it, they don't cut all the way through it. They kind of more deep score the pork belly. And I didn't do that last time. And then I've seen other people that, just cut all the way through and let it go. So,
well, I figure if you want to get perfect cuts, if you cut them all the way through before you smoke, you get a lot more surface area to get all the seasoning on it you want. So
but now you're asking little pieces to hold up in the heat.
Yeah.
So there is a up and down to that. I think the profile for me is definitely going to be a sweet heat. Yep. As well. 100%. But I know Mason Dixon, they have the Meat Church's seasoning, which I actually really like. So I made
the sugar one?
Yeah, the sugar can't remember. It's not sugar maple, but it's sugar something.
Texas sugar.
Yeah, there you go. So I may go with that and then back it up with some, you know, the one of the things you always see when you're looking at the pork belly burnt ends is a nice red hue to it. So I'll probably back it up with something that gives it some additional color on there. And then, of course, you know, I'm telling folks that buying a bunch of trays with racks that fit in it have been awesome to the smoking process, because now when I'm putting stuff in, like last week when I was doing the ingredients for the chili, all that stuff, I just cut it up and put it on a tray. It was so easy to put it in and put it out. And the reason why you put it on the rack, because you want that smoke flavor to get all the way around whatever you're smoking.
Yeah.
And now when you have something like these burn ends, you know, you could potentially, you can go either way. You can go rack or not. But if you cut them all the way, if I decide to cut them all the way through, they're going on a rack without a question, right? Because I want to pull them out nice and easy. If I don't cut them all the way through, or, you know, or if I just do half and half, do you know, the ones that are cut all the way through on the rack, the ones that are not will be directly on the grate. So I love having the aluminum racks and the inserts for them. That has just been a game changer for me. We've all had to chase, you know, a piece of food between grates before they drop and dump down in the never land. So we've all been there and have done that aspect of it. So So we'll give you guys some more information as we get deeper into that. And then, hope we also have some, stuff that Rod and I are working on that, could be pretty cool, for us to discuss on here as well. So, I think we're going to start putting our videos up on YouTube as well. I mean, we have all these recordings of us doing the show and we never really do anything with them. So I think I'm just going to start probably just for the patrons at first. Taking the episodes and putting them out there.
All right, now I gotta know. I gotta make sure I look pretty every time for an episode.
Yeah, no more just walking in here in your pajamas, man. You gotta come in here looking right.
You're lucky I don't stand up.
No, please don't. Please don't. So folks, listen, we're having a blast. Our numbers are going up as far as downloads are concerned. We've got new patrons all the time. Shout out to you guys for showing us love. Let's keep building this thing. Let's keep going. Let's see where we can take this. By all means, if you can tweet out the show, post the show on your Facebook or on your Twitter, on your Instagram, whatever.
You know what I'd really love to hear from the viewers? If you're making sausages, if you're grinding your own meat, casing your own sausages, I really would like to hear what's worked well for you, because we've been talking about this for a long time and we have to grind.
I gotta admit, I'm slightly intimidated. I think that's why I haven't jumped in the window yet. But yeah, so, you know, folks, we're having great conversations on Discord. Folks, like Kenny and Eric, they're posting some lovely, lovely pictures of food that they've smoked. And I enjoy just going in there and looking at some of the beautiful, my man, EM, Davies out there. Putting up some great information all the time. Just really, really cool. So, you know, Alon,
good to have a community of people with tips.
Yeah, man. This is just a lot of fun, and you know, it's just getting better and growing, and we keep going. So yeah, if you want to join us over on our Discord, by all means, come over and, you know, show us some of this barbecue that we all enjoy doing. So there you go. Amen. All right, we out until we'll catch you guys next week. With a brand new episode of Barbecue and Tech. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.
Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.